This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
412-928-9370 is the number. It's also the number. The Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. Let's go to the fan hotline, which is brought to you by Workers' Compensation Law Firm of Hall & Capitas, and talk to our good friend from Pittsburgh Sports Now, Alan Saunders. And Alan, I saw that you had written a little story about the fact that Pitt is going to allow, I don't know, was it 5,000 fans or whatever, into the stadium. And then I guess 1,000 of those seats are going to be earmarked for students and whatnot. So my question to you is, do you have any idea about how much these tickets are going to cost? Because if you're only selling 4,500 or 4,000 or whatever, you probably can put a premium on them, especially for the Notre Dame game.
Yeah, no, I haven't seen like a map or anything like that as far as if they're charging more for certain sections. In fact, from what I'm hearing, you don't even get to pick where you're going to sit when you respond to the email from Pitt saying that you are in line to get a ticket. And also, from what I'm hearing, at least some of the tickets are going for about $100. You know, that's about somewhere in the range of what lower bowl tickets usually go for Pitt. So, I mean, I assume that's, like you said, I think they probably charge a whole lot, and they would still get at least 4,500 people to sign up for them. But that seems on the reasonable side of things.
Yeah, if it's only $100, I'm surprised. But again, you know, it's a different year and all that other stuff. Alan, the age-old question that seems to come up every single year, and I'm going to put you on the spot. I keep hearing about Pitt getting over the top and getting to the next level. Certainly beating Boston College and NC State has to be a part of that equation. But in your mind, what is realistic for Pitt in terms of next level and what is sustainable?
Yeah, I mean, I thought a step forward was possible this year, and I don't know what you want to call the next level. I think different people have different standards for what they think is an acceptable place for the program to be. I think there are some people that are kind of caught on where things were in the late 70s and the early 80s, and frankly, I doubt it'll ever get back to that. But I think, you know, it should have been reasonable to expect Pitt to do better against Boston College and NC State in a year where they have maybe the best defense they've ever had, and they have a returning senior quarterback, and they retained all of their coaches from the previous year. You know, I thought Pitt was set up pretty well this year. That's not always going to be the case. But, you know, I think the big thing that frustrates people, and, you know, maybe it isn't taking a step. I don't know. I guess maybe you could call it that. But I think it really frustrates people when you don't win the games that you're supposed to. I think if you go out there and you say, look, hey, we're better than most of these teams, we're about as good as some of these teams, and we're going to lose to two or three of these teams, and then you go out there and do that, or maybe, you know, you trade a win for a loss, but that's pretty much the way things go. I think people are generally pretty understanding and pretty accepting of that coming back. You know, if Pitt would have gone out this year and they got blown out by Clemson and Notre Dame and they lose by two scores to Miami and lose maybe one other time to like a Virginia Tech or something, and they beat all the rest of the teams they should have, even if that's a four-loss season, nobody hangs a banner for 7-4, but I think everybody would have felt pretty okay about that. But I think when you lose the games that you're supposed to win, that everybody thinks you're supposed to win, they're road favorites at Boston College, two-score favorites at home against NC State, I think that's what really starts to get people upset.
Yep, there's no question about it. I mean, people are frustrated when you can't win home games against teams that you're supposed to beat, although the Boston College game was on the road. You said something that I was going to get to, and it really is something I've thought a lot about here in the last few weeks. You talked about how the coaching staff has been, you know, there's continuity and everyone, all the coaches were back and all this other stuff. I don't know that that necessarily is a good thing just from the standpoint of I kind of feel like maybe they need something different. And I don't think changing the head coach is the answer. So I would expect there should be some coaching change this offseason, right?
Well, I mean, I think generally speaking in college football right now, no coaching changes is the unusual situation, which is sort of what made them coming into this year in the middle of a pandemic with their entire coaching staff back so notable. They might be the only team in the whole conference that brought back all 11 coaches. And then to have that result on top of that, I would certainly anticipate – I would anticipate every season that there will be some changes. I would anticipate, given what's happened, that there will be more significant than usual changes. But the one thing that you do have in front of you if you're a Pitt player or a Pitt coach right now is you get three games against top 15 teams left in the schedule. There's plenty of time left to have some happy feelings at the end of the season. It's just now become much more difficult for Pitt. They can't just go out there and win the games they were supposed to win and have people be okay with that now. Now they're going to have to go beat a team that they shouldn't win for people to be feeling good about them at the end of the season.
Well, and that's one of the things I said, Alan, is they've got two losses now. If you can concede that they'll beat Georgia Tech and Florida State, because if they don't, I think you know that's probably a different conversation altogether. But they're going to have to win against one of the good, you know, teams left on their schedule. They got Clemson, Notre Dame, Miami, and Virginia Tech, depending on what you, you know, feel about Virginia Tech. I mean, those four games, they're going to have to win at least one to avoid a losing season. And, you know, if they do, and if they win two of them, you know, it might have a different spin on this season.
Yeah, I think if they beat two of those three big opponents, I think that fairly well cancels losing to two teams that you should have beaten. It doesn't, you know, in the grand scheme of things, but I think it would for the fans and the feeling they have about the program and the direction it's headed in. But, yeah, it obviously increases the degree of difficulty. And also, I think, you know, how do you look at a team that just lost to Boston College and NC State and think that it's going to beat Clemson? I don't know. It just becomes a much more significant hurdle than maybe even those games appeared to be 2 weeks ago.
This week they got, Miami, and it's hard to really get a gauge on Miami. It's funny, every time Miami starts winning a couple of games, people say, the U is back. And clearly Clemson showed the U isn't back, but I do think they're pretty good. They present a number of different challenges for Pitt, and I think one of the ones that we haven't talked about enough is the fact that Pitt's got to go down there and play down there in a little bit warmer and more humid climate that they might not be used to. This is going to be a tough game for the Panthers, isn't it?
I think it will. I think the travel – Miami always plays Pitt tough. I think the travel is – and they're actually going to have a real road game for the first time. Miami's been having – in the neighborhood of 13,000 fans at their games. And so there's actually going to be a crowd for the first time, going against Pitt. I'm not sure how good this Miami team is. It's really hard to get a read on them. You know, they beat Louisville and they beat Florida State. And I think since then we've found out that both of those teams aren't particularly good. And then they get crushed by Clemson. So I don't know. They're one of these teams that's in the middle in the ACC. I think you could put Virginia Tech and probably North Carolina in that group too, where, I don't know, one of those teams could certainly find themselves in the ACC championship game, and one of those teams could find themselves playing a noon kick bowl on a Thursday afternoon. You know, I don't know. There's a lot of spread in there, and I don't think we know a lot about how good they are. There are some really good individual players on this Miami squad, as it seems like there always are. And I think they have a better quarterback than they've had in a while. And Derek King seems like he's really put things together in his ability to be both a running threat and a passing threat.
Yeah, I think he's a different kind of player, but, you know, there's a lot of those kind of guys out there across the country. Alan, as we start to get into the colder weather and, you know, there's discussions about the flu season and, you know, we're starting to see these numbers for COVID creep back up. Is there any concern that this football season, I know we saw what happened in Florida and Alabama and things of the such, is there any concern that this football season might not make it to the finish line?
I think it's going to make it to the finish line in some form or fashion, and that I think the teams that need to get to the line are going to get there. The one thing that to me is a big, you know, potential red flag is, you know, these kids are they're putting up with some pretty significant sacrifices to get these games played compared to what the average college students are doing with their lives right now, you know. And I think most of the players and the teams had the discipline and the buy-in to do, if not a perfect job of that early going, at least a pretty good job. I'm really curious what's going to happen when some teams are 0-6. Is that level of discipline going to stay? I think you could see some situations where some teams that are out of it have a hard time maintaining the protocol, and maybe some of them just decide to pack it in at the end of the year. But I think the teams that are have something to play for will continue to be able to get their games in. And I would expect, you know, the conference championship games are going to happen. I have no idea what's going to happen about bowl season, because the idea to me of sending these kids home seems crazy. So I don't know how they're going to do that between the end of the regular season and what happens with a potential playoff or anything like that. And frankly, there has been very little in the way of plans or anything like that communicated for what bowl season and the college football playoff are going to look like.
Well, Alan, I really appreciate you taking some time and breaking it down. As always, it's always great catching up with you, and keep up the good work, man.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Paul.
All right, it's Alan Saunders, Pittsburgh Sports Now. He does a great job. Works his tail off. He really does it, you know, covering all kinds of sports, not just Pitt. He covers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.